From the Heidelberg Catechism, let's read together Lord's Day 45. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask for. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in His majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. This is what He has promised us in His Word. What did God command us to pray for? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Christ our Lord Himself taught us. What is this prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, do you pray? It's a question that only you can answer. Your elders will know if you attend church. Your family members know whether or not the Bible gets opened around your table. But whether or not you pray personal prayers is a question that only you can answer. And it's a very important question. I'm not asking if you say your prayers regularly. My question is, do you pray? I hope that you can answer this question positively, because prayer is needful for salvation. No person can expect to be saved if he or she does not pray. The point is not that we are saved by our prayers. We hold fast the doctrine of salvation by grace alone. Yet without prayer, no one can be saved. Each of us needs to respond personally to God's grace in Christ. We need to confess our sins and unworthiness, to plead with God for forgiveness, to thank God for His grace and Holy Spirit, and to pray for all we need for body and soul. To be prayerless is to be without God, without Christ, without grace, and without hope. Do you pray, young people? Sometimes we're inclined to come up with excuses for not praying. Some say, I don't know how to pray. But prayer is the simplest act. It's simply talking to God. Little babies cry out when they're hungry. Beggars hold out their hand when they're in need. As children of God, we can talk to Him about anything and everything that's going on in our lives. Some will excuse praying by saying there is no convenient place to do so. But where there is a will, there's a way. Our Lord prayed on the mountain, Peter on the housetop, Jonah from the fish's belly. Others make the excuse they have no time. Yet however short the time is, there is always time for prayer. Daniel was ruler over Babylon, yet he prayed 3 times a day. David was king of Israel, and yet evening, morning, and noon, he cried out to God. If your heart is set on God, you will pray. The problem is that our prayers do not come naturally to us like breathing does. We need to learn and continually relearn how to pray. There are many obstacles to prayer. We do not always give enough time for it. Often we're distracted by the busyness of life. At times we feel quite distant from God, and so we avoid praying. Sometimes there are sins in our lives that make us feel ashamed to pray. Or we may figure that praying's a waste of time because nothing ever seems to change anyways. This afternoon we'll consider the place of prayer in our lives. We'll see how God desires His children to live in prayerful communion with Him. To pray, we need to know God. We need to know Him as He really is, so we learn to rely on Him for His grace. We need to know ourselves. As needy sinners, we cannot make it on our own. We're totally dependent on our Heavenly Father. Finally, we also need to be assured that prayer works, that God hears, that He provides all our needs. I preach you the Word of God under the following theme. God desires His children to live in prayerful communion with Him. To pray as Christ commanded us, we must truly know God. We must be aware of our need and misery, and we expect all good through Christ alone. Can you imagine a close, loving relationship where boyfriend and girlfriend do not talk? Can you imagine an intimate marriage relationship where husband and wife never speak with each other? Do you think it's possible that those redeemed by the blood of Christ and renewed by the Holy Spirit would never pray? Seems unimaginable. And yet there are times in life when Christians can fall out of the practice of prayer. Part of the difficulty is that God is up there and we're down here. God is pure spirit while we are both spirit and body. We can have face-to-face contact with our fellow man. Our spirit communicates with fellow human beings through the tongue, which is material. When we speak to our neighbor, we often receive an immediate reply. Yet when we pray, we address our Father in heaven, whom we know but cannot see. The spirit within us communicates with God. God does not answer in an audible way. We don't hear Him reply with words from heaven. There's a gap between earth and heaven, a gap that needs to be bridged. The wonderful news of the gospel is that our Lord Jesus Christ has bridged that gap. Although He was God, Christ humbled Himself. He took on our flesh and blood. He suffered and died for us to pay the price for our redemption. The result is that He has restored us to communion with the Father. He has opened the way for us to have access to the throne of God. Thus, in faith, it is possible for us to bridge the gap between earth and heaven. Christ taught us to pray to the Father. He assures us that our Father will hear us for His name's sake. To pray requires faith. We need to know that God exists, that He is our Father through Jesus Christ. One of the elements of faith is a sure knowledge, whereby we accept as true all that God has revealed to us in His Word. We need to know God in order to be able to pray to Him. Growing up in Christian families and attending a Reformed church, you would think that we would all know God. But beloved, often we have wrong perceptions of Him. Our image of God is so easily distorted that can have a really negative impact on our prayer life. Some people know God as a faraway God, a God who's way up there in heaven, far removed from their everyday lives. That makes it really hard to pray. If that's your perception of God, then you're not very likely to share your hurts, your frustrations, your sorrow with Him. Some people know God as mighty King seated on the throne in heaven above. They view Him as an angry judge, ready to thump them one every time they step out of line. That makes it very hard to confess your sins to God. If that's your perception of God, you'll be inclined to view any adversity that comes upon you in life as a direct punishment from God for some perceived sin you may not be able to really identify. Some people view God as a type of Santa Claus figure, someone to go to when you want something, a God who gives His children whatever their heart desires, even if it isn't good for them. If that's your perception of God, then you'll likely become very selfish in your prayers. Instead of them being a sacrifice of praise, they'll become a list of give me this and give me that. Some people view God as a powerless wimp. Since they've prayed fervently for something and God has not answered as they wanted, they conclude that God just doesn't have the power and the authority to protect them or to provide for them. They don't have any confidence in Him anymore. And so they've just given up on praying. Beloved, how do you know God? Do you know Him as He has made Himself known to us in His Word? Or is your perspective on God distorted? The various perspectives I've listed above are probably a bit overstated. Yet there are elements of these perspectives that influence our prayer life. For some, God is a distant God. Others tend to see Him as an angry judge. At times we use God. Our prayers become like a mail order catalog. Other times we may become despondent about praying because it doesn't seem to make any difference anyway. When Jesus taught us to pray, He told us to address God as our Father. Our Father. God is not a distant God, far removed from us. The gap between heaven and earth is not insurmountable. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Through Him, we have access to the Father. It is true that God is a just judge, and that the sins of mankind provoke Him to anger. Yet Christ has borne the wrath of God for us in His suffering and death on the cross. If we're children of our Heavenly Father, we may be sure Christ has borne the punishment for our sins. God is our Father. Think for a moment about the close love relationship between a father and his little boy or girl. Paul teaches us in Romans 8:15 and in Galatians 4, verse 7, that through the Holy Spirit we may address our Heavenly Father as Abba. That's the Aramaic word by which children address their dads. It's like calling out, Daddy. It's a word that expresses the love, trust, and dependence of a little child for his or her dad. In Christ, that is who our Heavenly Father is. A personal, loving, caring Father. In our scripture reading from 2 Corinthians 4, we see how the gospel message is veiled to some. Why? Because the God of this age has blinded their minds. They cannot see the light of the glory of Christ because they do not have faith. How about us, beloved? You know what Paul has to say about us? Paul says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has made his light shine in our hearts to give the light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." God has made his light shine in our hearts so we may know him through his Son, Jesus Christ. It is in Christ, it's through Christ that we really come to know God. The love of God has been manifest in that he was willing to offer up his dearly beloved Son for our sake. Article 26 of the Belgian Confession shows us that we have access to God through our mediator, Jesus Christ. He's our high priest who intercedes for us. Seated at the right hand of God, he brings our prayers before the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Article 26 teaches us we should not be frightened by Christ's greatness. Why not? Because there's no creature in heaven or on earth who loves us more than Jesus Christ. Our confession quotes from Romans 5, the verses 8 to 10, to prove the point. Is there anyone who loves us more than he who laid down his life for us, even while we were his enemies? Our confession makes it clear that we may have great confidence in the power and might of our Savior. Why? Because no one has more authority and power than he who is seated at the right hand of the Father, who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Beloved, we may know God as he really is, as our Father in Christ, who loves and cares for us, as a God who has come near to us in Jesus Christ, who has now sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts, a personal God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. A God who deals with us in compassion and love. One we can trust, depend on, have confidence in. A God who is almighty, able to help. A Father who is faithful, willing to provide our needs. If we truly know God as he is, we'll have no difficulty addressing him in our prayers. In our first point, we've seen that to pray as Christ commanded us, we must truly know God. In our second point, we'll see that to pray as we ought, we must be aware of our need and misery. I believe that one of the reasons why Christians fall out of the habit of praying personally to God is because we feel we no longer need God. We feel self-sufficient, self-supporting. Our attitude of heart is, we can make it on our own. That's often one of the results of living in a land like Canada, where we enjoy peace and prosperity. Please remember the warnings that the Lord gave to his covenant people before they entered into Canaan. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 12 and 8, verse 14, the Lord warns his people not to forget him when they're full and have plenty in the promised land. He cautions them not to adopt the attitude that my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Those warnings are there for us also. For by nature we're inclined to adopt the same attitudes. At times of crisis and stress, we're inclined to call upon God to seek help in the midst of a crisis. Think of how people who normally don't pray do so when faced with drought or some natural disaster, a plane crash, or a terrorist attack. Yet so often when the crisis passes, people forget that God indeed helped them through. We're often like that too. Our tendency is to forget to thank God for His care and His provision. Today, many are worried about the state of our economy. Unemployment is up. The possibility is always there that it'll affect us as well. Yet to face some uncertain times is not bad for us spiritually. One of the greatest threats we face as churches is that of material abundance. If we've got all we need, why would we need God? Beloved, do you still rely on God for your daily bread? Do you see your Heavenly Father as the one who provides you with food and drink, shelter and clothing, health and strength? Not only is God the one who provides for our material needs, He also provides for us spiritually. He is the one who grants His grace and Spirit to those who ask Him for these gifts and thank Him for them. But again, beloved, I ask the question, do we recognize our need and misery? Of ourselves, we deserve nothing from God. We're not worthy of His grace, for we're sinners who rebelled against the Most High Majesty of God. Even as redeemed saints, we cannot do anything for God. Even our best works are completely defiled with sin. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we're enabled to bring forth fruits of thankfulness. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will I forgive their sin and will I heal their land." In the New Testament, James teaches us to submit to God. He says, "Come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up." We need to know our need and misery in order to look to God for His grace and help. I'm convinced that one of the reasons why God allows adversity into our lives is to teach us to trust in Him. Submitting ourselves to God, humbling ourselves before Him, goes against our sinful human nature. We don't like to think of ourselves as dependent, as needy people. We tend to rely on ourselves. We strive to solve our own problems in life. Yeah, beloved, if we want God's help, we've got to ask for it. We need to acknowledge that the problems facing us in life are too big for us to handle. We don't learn that lesson very well when life hums along smoothly, when all goes well for us. There's times when we need hardship, trouble, or adversity to teach us to be dependent on our Savior. The Apostle Paul refers to this in 2 Corinthians 4. He speaks about our knowledge of God as being a treasure. Paul says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Paul goes on to describe the situation of his life, the troubles that he and his fellow workers faced. He says we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Paul is afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. Paul's suffering and apparent defeats are evidence he has no strength in himself. The reason he suffered and struggled was so that the people to whom he preached the gospel could see that not Paul, but Christ was their Savior. In Paul's weaknesses, Christ's power was continually made known. Paul's life taught the people not to look to man, but to God, to fill their greatest needs and their deepest desires. Beloved, we have God's promise that he will turn all adversity to our benefit. In Romans 8, 28, Paul says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." We should not interpret adversity in our lives as the act of a cruel God having a go at us, punishing us for our sins. God often uses adversity to draw us close to him, to help us see what we're missing. He makes us aware of our need and misery, so we turn to him for help. You might not see that when you're in the midst of trouble or sorrow. Yet God uses adversity to draw us into closer communion with him. This brings us to our final point, and we'll see that in our prayers, we must expect all good things through Christ alone. Besides humble acknowledgement of our need and misery, our prayers also require faith. James 1 verse 6 tells us that when we pray, we are to ask without doubting. Our catechism says that we must rest on this firm foundation, that although we do not deserve it, God will certainly hear our prayer for the sake of Christ our Lord, as he has promised us in his word. The reason for our confidence is that we have a mediator, Jesus Christ. When we pray, we're not alone. We may address our Heavenly Father through the name of Jesus Christ. He is our advocate, the one who pleads for us. He mingles our prayers with the incense of his own intercession. And so they go up to God as a sweet-smelling sacrifice. Jesus taught us in John 16, verses 23 and 24, "I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." At times, we may become discouraged in our prayers because it seems like God is not answering us. God's word teaches us that we're allowed to pray for anything that's in accordance with his promises. Those who are lonely may pray for a close friend. Relatives and friends may pray for someone who is seriously ill. A childless couple may ask God to grant them a child. But sometimes nothing happens. We're still lonely. Our sick relative is even worse. God has not granted us a child. Does that mean that our prayers have not been answered? In Matthew 7, verses 7 to 12, Jesus makes it clear that our Heavenly Father never gives us a stone for bread. Sometimes he lets us wait. Sometimes he gives us something other than what we asked for. Yet there's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. In Isaiah 65, verse 24, we read, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." Jesus promised us in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, "Ask and it will be given you, For everyone who asks receives. We may be confident that when we pray, God does hear. He does answer our prayers. Consider the prayer that the Lord Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. In his great suffering, he prayed that the cup of suffering might be removed from him. Was this an unheard prayer? Certainly not. Hebrews 5 verse 7 states that Christ offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. It states that he was heard because of his reverent submission. God didn't take away Jesus' suffering. Instead, he sent his angels to minister to Jesus, to strengthen him for the task ahead. In the same way, we may be confident that our Father hears all our prayers and petitions, that he will answer them in the way that is to our greatest benefit. Beloved, do you pray regularly and diligently? Prayers in which you speak openly to the Lord about all that's going on in your life, confessing your sins, giving thanks for God's grace, laying your needs before your Father in heaven. If that's not your regular practice, then please get into a new habit. For prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness to God. It's the means through which God grants us his grace and the Holy Spirit. It's the way in which God draws us into close fellowship with him. How blessed we are that day by day we may talk to our Heavenly Father, knowing we will be heard for the sake of Christ Jesus, his Son. Amen. Let's respond to the gospel message by rising and singing from number 436.